The programme was produced in Salford by Ruth Thompson.
BBC Sounds.
April 2020. I was due to film a new TV series. However, like much of the UK, I was instead confined to my home. With some unexpected time on my hands, I decided to experiment with my first ever podcast series.
Grounded with Louis Theroux.
So I've tracked down some famous, mysterious, and controversial people that I've always wanted to talk to. We'll discuss the lockdown, but also dig deep into their past life experiences to find out how they became who they are today. Grounded with Louis Theroux. Listen on the BBC Sounds app.
Welcome to BBC Radio 3 with me, Chris Barrow. And in an hour, Julian Joseph presents an exclusive home session from the trumpeter Laura Jurd and the pianist Elliot Galvin. They're one half of the Mercury Prize-nominated band Dinosaur, and they'll be playing a stripped-back version of music from their forthcoming album. It's one not to miss. Now, though, 4 o'clock on Radio 3, and it's Music Planet with Catherine Tickell.
Basiku Kouyaté and Ngoni Ba with the title track from their album Miri. And Basiku has just been announced winner of the Best Artist category in the Songlines Music Awards organised by Songlines magazine, and we'll bring you tracks by two of the other winners later in the programme. We've also got an in-depth feature on the new album Fra Fra Funeral Songs. Legendary producer Ian Brennan will be talking us through the recording process and telling us about the personalities and traditions involved. We've got brand new music from Tel Aviv, a classic track from old-time North Carolina, and now, from the album, snappily entitled Margrave K7 Club, Synth Rai, Shoei and Steif, 1985 to 1997, which focuses in on Algerian cassette tape culture in Lyon. I love these really specific compilations. Here's Shabbati Lejeune with Mani Mani Man.
توب ميزيك برودكسيون تقدم شاب شاباتي المغنوي في خطر حسن ونابل صوت العرب في خطر ناس عنابة في خطر عبد العزيز في خطر عباس في خطر كمال
Thank you.
Bongo Joe's new compilation of musics recorded and produced between 1985 and 1997 in Lyon in France by musicians, mostly Algerian, from the Maghreb region of North Africa, who contributed such a lot to the music scene in Lyon. You just heard Shabbaty Le Jeune with Mani Mani Man, which first came out around 1988, and like the rest of that compilation, was previously available only on cassette. You're listening to Music Planet. I'm Catherine Tickell, and a few weeks ago I played you a pre-release track from the new album Fra Fra, Funeral Songs, which is the sixth release in Glitterbeat's Hidden Music series. Well, today we're going to go into the project in a bit more depth. In a few minutes' time, producer Ian Brennan will be talking to us from his home in Italy to give his insights on the musicians and the recording process. Ian's a Grammy-winning producer and author. He's one of those people who's absolutely driven by his work and his passion for the music and the people who play it. He's produced 28 international records in the past decade. And here on Music Planet, I think we've probably played you most of them. Hanoi Masters, Cambodia's Khmer Rouge Survivors, Abattoir the Pygmy, the Malawi Mouse Boys, the Zumba Prison Project, Tanzania Albinism Collective, and more. This new album was recorded live in northern Ghana, just outside Tamale, Ghana's third largest city, and it's just one group, Fra Fra, and judging by the album sleeve notes, the leader, who's called Small, sounds like a real character. We'll find out more from Ian Brennan very soon, but let's hear some music first. From the album Funeral Songs, this is We Must Grieve Together. We Must Grieve Together. That's one of the tracks featured on the new release, Fra Fra, Funeral Songs, the latest project of producer Ian Brennan, who joins me now from Italy. Hello, Ian.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us. Now, you've recorded such a range of fascinating and emotionally gripping projects. And the thing that characterises your work for me is the human element, the story, that social context of the music. So could you tell us what drew you to this particular project?
Yeah, I mean, thank you for mentioning the human element, because that's what I'm really interested in, are voices and individuals. And so in this case, Small, who's the leader of the group, he's 72 years old. He seems like he's decades younger, generation or two younger, is incredible. I mean, if you listen to him, he has a real almost virtuosity. I mean, I say almost in the sense that I don't generally like virtuosity, but he has an incredible freedom and range and command. But within that command is that incredible freedom that he expresses vocally, physically, when he dances, and also on the Kalogo, the two-string guitar.
So how did you actually discover him? Did somebody tell you about him? Or
no, we went to northern Ghana, my wife Marlena Deli and I, who does all the video and photography for the projects. We went there in the hopes of doing another project, which we did, and which will be coming out, which is radically different record. And we, while we were there, we, you know, just asking around about different stuff, a lot of the things that were popular, so to speak, or well connected, or that people kind of wanted to push on us, didn't seem particularly compelling. I mean, music has value always. If it has value for a person, it has value. But it didn't seem that it was something of great interest to record. But then I began to learn a little bit about the culture of the Farifari, the Fra-Fra, and then learned of this group, and it just became more and more interested. And what ended up happening was it exceeded my expectations, meaning the descriptions of kind of the traditional aspect, you know, are I'm sure great, but this is a very individual group. I mean, this is a rock group, essentially, and Small is a rock star in a sense.
So this particular music, this funeral music, I'm assuming it does have that function in the community. It's, you know, they are of service to the community by performing this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It does have that function, but at the same time, it transcends it in a sense through Small songwriting and his singing and you know, the guitar playing, the energy that's brought to the performances. But it's cathartic. It's something that he's done for decades in the group. And in the north of Ghana, funerals are generally quite important and often quite lengthy, reportedly up to 7 days. The process, the mourning, the ceremony can go on. So this is something that you know, they have played a part in for a long, 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 long time in their community.
And I'm interested in that kind of call and response element in the voices, and the fact that it's not always the solo voice that's the call. Sometimes he's the response, and it sounds like he's asking questions and commenting on things. I'm fascinated. I don't understand what he's saying, but it really draws you in. I mean, is that his particular take on things, or is that part of the tradition?
Well, you know, that's a very astute thing you're saying about that flexibility. And, you know, with the good ones in Rwanda, the folk trio, the core duo, when they sing, I often say that what's amazing about their singing is that you can't tell who's singing lead and harmony, because their voices are dovetailing with each other so much. And I think what you just described with Fra-Fra is very similar. You know, who's carrying the chorus, who's carrying the hook. But a lot of it is because of the improvisatory nature of what he does and what they're doing. And so it made, in a sense, recording easy, but at the same time, it made the recording quite difficult, because they potentially would go on forever with one song. I mean, maybe not forever, but it was hard to know, you know, when it was over, when to stop. And, you know, I leave that up to them ultimately. But what I did observe in a lot of cases is that it, not so much that they were warming up, but just that the longer they would play, the stronger it would become. And sometimes the songs would metamorphosize almost into another song, not another song, but just they would just take on a whole different form.
What I was going to play now was one with the Kalogo, Naked You Enter and Leave This World With Nothing. Is there anything you want to say about that track to give us a little sense of it?
Well, I mean, reportedly that song is a staple of theirs, and I guess at some point it was a regional hit. And as we were recording, sometimes the individuals that would be passing by or the neighbors would sort of join in or become attracted. And it seemed that was evidenced by the reaction to this particular song, that people really seemed to react to that one and know this one. And it does have a true hook. Many of these songs do, but it really does.
Now Naked, you enter and leave this world with nothing. That's from the album Fra Fra, Funeral Songs, recorded by producer Ian Brennan. And Ian, we've talked about the voices, but what about the instrumentation? Tell us a little bit about the Kalogo and what role it plays in the music.
Well, Kalogo is a pretty frequent, common instrument in the region, a two-string guitar. It's a homemade two-string guitar. He attaches dog rattles to the head of it, which is, you know, a form of distortion. You know, so this is not Marshall Stack distortion. This is ancient distortion, in a sense, acoustic distortion. And it's beautiful. To think that he's playing only two strings and what he can do with them is incredible, because I don't think most people listening to it would believe that that was just two strings. They would think it was more. Then he's joined by percussionists and the call and response vocals, and occasionally the flutes, which they call horns because that's what they're made of. And when this was being described to me, you know, early on when I began to hear this and it began to seem like something of interest to try to pursue, you know, I was envisioning big horns. I mean, they said, oh yeah, they have these horns of different sizes. So I figured, you know, small to big, but the majority of them are much smaller than I ever even imagined, you know, just an inch or so long. But they add another very unique element and color to some of the music.
Tell us how you actually made that initial contact with the musicians, you know, that very first meeting. And how did they respond to you? Were they wary or flattered?
Well, you know, I mean, I wouldn't want to ascribe emotions to another person particularly. I can tell you what my perceptions were. We were very lucky in that Sammy, a man that we met and was, you know, vital to our stay there on both projects we did in northern Ghana, he mentioned, you know, about the funeral songs and about the flutes. And he said, you know, I know this guy that does this music. And I said, okay. And he said, I haven't seen him for, I think, something like 20 years. He said, but I think I know where I can find him. And so we drove into town and drove around, and he found him. And there he was with his son, who looks very much like him, like a younger version of him. So they were in the same spot where he had last, I guess, talked to him or met him, you know, been with him, you know, and they were very, very happy to see one another. It was a reunion, and they were quite open and enthusiastic about doing this, and they brought tremendous energy to it. It was nothing but a positive experience. And, you know, from that, they were invited to do WOMAD this summer, and they were going to come, and all three men from the trio, the core trio, got passports for the first time to come, and they were extremely excited, and the hope is that will be able to happen next year in 2021, because as we know, very few things are going to go on as planned, at least for the better part of this year.
That's right. And I remember when you had the Albinism Project, when they came over to WOMAD, what an amazing experience it was for them, but also for us to get that access to musicians and people that we would never normally have a chance to see. That's such a shame. I'm wondering, did you feel that your relationship to them changed over the course of your time with them?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Small is a very positive person, and there's such joy in what they're doing, despite the subject matter largely seemingly being dark. And I think that's very educational. It was very educational to me, you know, who have been raised in a way to think of death as something to fear and as something dark, and to see it approached in a celebratory, largely, and joyful way was a positive thing.
It's almost like those New Orleans marching bands, that same approach to life and death, perhaps.
Yeah, I believe that there is a connection, and you know, it may be a somewhat direct connection. I wouldn't want to make that leap necessarily, but certainly one of the challenges of recording the group was that they don't stand still. And in fact, they're used to oftentimes doing things in procession. And initially, at the start of the recording, that's what they were doing. I mean, they started playing from 100 yards away, you know. So I was there with the microphones and kind of had to go to them and try to figure out a way to capture this as best we could. But I really believe that the music and the human element comes first and the technology has to come second and hopefully doesn't interfere at all. And what you're trying to capture is what's the magical element and the thing that's lacking in so much mass media, and that is the spark, the life, the rawness really is oftentimes what brings that. But it's not an intention to be raw. It's just an intention to capture a moment in time as truthfully and as beautifully as possible.
Well, I think this whole album absolutely has that. It's very real, very live, obviously. And this next track we're going to hear, it's just a short one, and it does seem to, you capture that sense of movement from the musicians, from the singers. And we're also hearing the bone flutes that you were talking about earlier on in this one. The track, I Will Follow You for Life Everywhere. But I'm interested, what's the rattling sound? Is that the dog rattles again?
Yeah, those are the dog rattles, yep, on the end of the guitar.
Aha.
Or the dog tags, I should say, that act as rattles.
I Will Follow You for Life Everywhere, recorded live in Northern Ghana by Ian Brennan, who's joining us from his home in Italy. Ian, is there a particular religious context or is there a specific language? Tell us a little bit about that sort of aspect to the music.
Well, they are from the Fra Fra tribe, which derives their name, or the Far Far, and they are singing in the language Fra Fra, and the northern region of Ghana is predominantly Muslim, and the tradition of their people is spirituality plays a huge part. It's central to the village and also central to each home. And Ghana, you know, like so many places, is complex and it's diverse, and there are many different traditions and people. And the group they derive from makes up just 2.5% of the population. It's 31 plus million people on a land area that's just a little smaller than England. So, I mean, it's a big land area. It takes, you know, over an hour to fly from the capital, Accra, to the center there. And you're only at that point in the center. I mean, there's a whole lot more up further and further and further north to the border.
We're going to have one last track from the Fra Fra Funeral Songs collection. It's one of the longer pieces. We're only going to have time for an excerpt from it. But I know that you were fascinated by how the piece is developed over time. We're going to listen to You Can't Escape Death. Is there anything you can do to set the scene for us for this particular recording?
Well, I mean, I think this one is quite amazing in the hook department, the catchiness department, in that as the song develops, the midsection, he's playing these driving eighth notes that are very, very rock in the sense of a lot of the rock canon from the West, and it's strong, it's powerful, it brings me back to my adolescence going to metal shows in a sense, you know, not that it sounds metal, but hard rock, yeah, it's something, it's cool. And then the song goes on to become another thing before it's over.
Ian, thanks very much for talking to us. It's, as always, really fascinating hearing about your projects and your recording. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
And let's listen to this last track, You Can't Escape Death. I'm gonna Escape Death, part of one of the longer tracks from the group Frofra's album Funeral Songs, recorded in northern Ghana by the producer Ian Brennan for the Glitterbeat label. And I keep thinking there's an extra depth of poignancy here because of the timing of that release. Nobody was expecting us to be in a situation where we can't have gatherings at wakes and funerals. And I've been finding that album strangely cathartic, actually, at the moment in these strange times. And as I said earlier, producer Ian Brennan is remarkable for continuing to find these amazing musicians and bring them and their stories to us. While he was in Ghana, he was also recording another project, which I can't wait to hear more about. We're hoping to get a sneak preview of that sometime soon. We'll keep you posted. You're listening to Music Planet with me, Catherine Tickell, on BBC Radio 3.
Loyambi nengeli kere wongi Orbem balele limunu wongi Sogolwe mabi nengeli kere wongi Loyambi nengeli kere wongi Ngen bi wele ni kere wongi onge ba bi wele ni munu wongi lo yesi ho inyonyo ni nyo lo yesi ho iho ni mao long yes mi nenge li kere wongi Pire din chomo ki ki pitong bimo Inge mwe mwa ki bi perne ni munu wongi Inyo be abi wel ni besgi wongi Hata ngonge mle long Inge ni yo ki gi wong Mumye abi wel ni besgi wongi Ni bespana din kirne ni kere wongi Si ho Inyo nyo ni nyo Ilo ye si ho Iho ni mao Ambombo kala ni me Ilo ye si ho Iho ni wongi Yele Ilo ye si ho Inyo ni mao
Another of this year's winners of a Songlines Music Award, Cameroonian singer-songwriter Blik Bassi, winner of the Africa category, and that track was Wongi from his album 1958, celebrating the life of Cameroon's anti-colonial leader Ruben Umnayobe, an album released on the No Format label last year. You can read about the other winners in the June edition of Songlines magazine, and I'll be playing one more of the award-winning tracks at the end of today's programme. But now it's time for this week's classic artist. See if you recognise this.
Pray, 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 pray.
This week's classic artist, yes, it's Elizabeth or Libba Cotton. Born in 1893 in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Her songs have been covered by Bob Dylan, Taj Mahal, The Grateful Dead, and many more. She wrote Freight Train, which you just heard, when she was about 11 years old, but it didn't become a hit until nearly 60 years later when it was covered by Peter, Paul and Mary. Now, a lot's been written about Libba Cotton, but the aspects of her story that have always stuck in my mind, like little parables, are about the magic of chance and the beauty and strength in finding your own way of doing things. Elizabeth Cotton was determined to play music. She was self-taught, borrowing her older brother's banjo while he was out and buying her own guitar out of her wages while she was still a child, earning 75 cents a month. Libba Cotton was left-handed, but just played a guitar upside down and backwards, picking with her left hand and playing the bass lines with her fingers and the melody with her thumb, bringing a really different sound and style to her playing, which might not have happened had she had the luxury of lessons. Libba Cotton received a Grammy Award in 1985 when she was 90 years old and was a big influence on the folk music revival of the 1960s and a huge influence on many guitarists. At first glance, she's quite an unlikely person to leave the musical legacy that she has, born right at the tail end of the 1800s and being poor, black and female, meant that becoming a professional musician wasn't really an option for her. She spent most of her life in domestic service and jobs with no connection to music, and here's where chance comes into it. While she was working in a department store in Washington, D.C., Libba found and returned a very young Peggy Seeger to her mother, composer and music teacher Ruth Crawford Seeger. And a month later, Libba Cotton began to work in the household of the famous folk-singing Seeger family. But even then, it was a few years before the family gradually became aware of Libba as a musician, the breadth of her repertoire, her songwriting and her instrumental virtuosity. It's such a fascinating story, and thanks to the intervention of the Seegers, you can seek it out and find brilliant recordings, interviews and videos of Libba Cotton. You just heard Freight Train from her first album, recorded when she was 62 by Mike Seeger, and that album opened many doors for her. I'm going to play you just a little bit more from Elizabeth Cotton on the banjo this time, and again recorded by Mike Seeger. It's Shoot That Buffalo. Classic artist, American blues and folk musician, singer and songwriter, Elizabeth Libba Cotton, who died in 1987, aged 94. Here's another powerful female voice now, Israeli singer Shiran, with the new single from her album of songs inspired by the life of her Yemenite Jewish grandmother. And Shiran already recorded this song before on her debut album a couple of years ago, but this version is very different. She's turned her back on the Western pop influences and brought in a chorus of voices to support her, not that she needs it, and an array of galloping percussion. Here's Shiran with Yabanat Al Yemen.
يا بنات اليمن
رنين وزفين العروس
From Tel Aviv, that's Shiran, with a song from her new album, Gilsa Sananea with Shiran. And from a Yemeni wedding song, let's move on to an Ethiopian wedding song. It seems only right after featuring so many funeral songs earlier on. This is from a new collaboration between legendary vibraphone player, bandleader and father of Ethio Jazz, Mulatu Astatke, and Melbourne-based octet Black Jesus Experience, who met Astatke back in 2009 at his nephew's jazz club in Addis Ababa. And there is a bit of transcontinental and cultural exploration going on here.
Yeah.
Recorded between Melbourne and Addis Ababa, an exciting new take on a traditional Ethiopian wedding song there from the unlikely but formidable partnership of Mulatu Astatke and the Black Jesus Experience. That's some collaboration. Now, yesterday, the results of this year's Songlines Music Awards were announced. Earlier in the programme, you heard music from some of the winners. You can read all about the awards and the rest of the artists in the June issue of Songlines magazine. And I'm going to finish today's Music Planet with a burst of energy from the winners of the Best Group category, Colombian band Cimarron. They did a brilliant session for us back in February, but this is from their album Orinoco. It's an absolute standout track, just ablaze with virtuosic playing. Cimarron with Paranda Quita Pesares.
Thank you.
Cimarron, ending this week's Music Planet, which was presented by Catherine Tickell and produced by Felix Carey.
From Beethoven's First Symphony to his last. Marking 250 years since the composer's birth, all nine of Beethoven's groundbreaking symphonies, performed by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra. Beethoven Unleashed on Radio 3 in concert, next Monday to Friday evening at 7:30.
And now here on BBC Radio 3, it's time for J to Z with Julian Joseph.
Hello and welcome. Well, we've got a packed show for you today, so let's get straight to it with brand new music from guitarist John Scofield. This is Radio.